Hey everyone, it's Chris from Grappling With Podcast. I'm here doing a solo episode, kind of following up Bill's. I'm not going to say it's going to be as good as Bill's, but I thought I'd honestly take off my jiu-jitsu black belt hat and kind of put on my doctor's hat today for this one. So in my occupational medicine practice, I've been seeing a lot of lateral epicondylitis, otherwise known as tennis elbow. With workers, I typically see it with people, you know, like concrete workers, see it a lot with, construction carpenters, anybody that does a lot of forceful hand tasks, right? Using, high impact vibratory tools, things like that are really big risk factors for this. Cause honestly, they're really kind of small little structures here relative to the rest of the body. And they're pretty vulnerable to overuse injuries. Now, I see a lot in jiu-jitsu too, for the same reasons, kind of repetitive gripping, forceful gripping, pulling and pull, especially if you have a habit like many of us do, especially when we're tired or we're in a pretty tough role, to over grip sometimes. And it's something preventive that we can talk about as well too. So let's talk about this thing from the anatomy perspective first, then I'll show you guys how to treat it. And it's really important that you don't let this go too long, because if you do, it's going to turn into this nasty chronic thing. And I have several of my teammates right now that are suffering kind of on a chronic basis. And guess what? Including myself, because sometimes I don't always listen to my own advice, actually often. So first of all, let's talk about the anatomy here. So the lateral epicondyle, which is named lateral epicondylitis. So if you hear that, it just means inflammation at the lateral epicondyle, which is a little bony protuberance from our upper arm bone. This is the humerus as it comes down to the elbow joint. And so you have the humerus on the top part and you have the radius and the ulna on the bottom part of the arm, and they come together to form the elbow joint. Well, on the lateral or outside part of the humerus at the very end of it is something called the lateral epicondyle. And it's just an attachment point. And what it attaches is really important. So all of your fingers, when you bring them up like this, it's called extension. When you bring your wrist up, it's called extension. Those extenders of the wrist and fingers, they all come together to a point and they attach right here. Imagine if I had like a big industrial strength attachment point, like an eye hook or something that I screwed into a wall and I attached a bunch of rubber bands and pulled on them. Where we're going to feel the tension, as I increase the tension of those rubber bands, we're going to, where most of the force is right at that attachment point at the wall. And when we do a ton of stuff that involves forceful grasp, you know, with holding the wrist even isometrically to prevent it from going down, because that's still part of extension. And also attached to this thing is a little muscle called the supinator. And this one gets forgotten. The supinator is responsible for turning the hand so it's facing up, like you're holding a bowl of soup. If you can remember that, supination is basically I'm holding something. So the biceps also helps with that motion, but only when the elbow's bent. In jiu-jitsu a lot, we often have our arms extended, you know, our elbow extended like this, and then almost all the force from this, the biceps can't help in this case, it's that little supinator muscle that also attaches to here. So the bottom line is, overuse, repetitive gripping, especially when we do lots and lots of rounds, maybe we're over gripping for a variety of reasons, we start to get tension. The way the nervous system handles overuse in general, it's like, hey dummy, stop that. And it tries to protect that muscular system. And the way it does that is through a reflex. We may have talked, you may have remembered in our stretching and mobility podcast, we talked about the myotatic reflex. Go back and listen to it if you need a refresher. But basically, we have little receptors throughout the muscle called muscle spindles. And when they detect stretch, and when they're overstretched or there's a overuse of that muscle group, we start to get a low level contraction, like tension all the time, even at rest. And so people that have this condition, you can kind of touch in here and feel this like real, just tense cords of tendon and muscle, very, very tight. And what the end, I guess, product or result of all this is, at the attachment point is where we start getting inflammation, to the point where we actually start in severe cases, that can actually start pulling away from the bone in the periosteum, cause a nasty, nasty inflammatory thing, to the point was, I can tell you, a couple weeks ago, I developed this, and, you know, I could barely write or even just, you know, open a jar, open a door, you know, little activities of daily living I was having a problem with just because it's so painful. So, and many of you have been dealing with this. And by the way, in a future little episode, I'll be talking about the opposite, the medial epicondylitis or golfer's elbow, which also affects grapplers. But let's stick to this one for now. So the first thing we need to do, when you start feeling this right away, we need to inhibit that myotatic reflex in real time. And some of the ways to do this, you know, if you have access to a deep tissue massage therapist, great, because that helps kind of inhibit the muscle spindles and give you a temporary relaxation, which offloads all that tension at the attachment point, right? But many of us don't have access to that. So there's some things that we can do ourselves to give that input to the nervous system to relax that reflex. And once that reflex is relaxed, then we can do our stretching. You often hear other doctors that really don't know what they're doing. You know, doctors are famous for giving advice they don't know. So you'll see them, oh, you need to stretch. Well, that's almost the worst thing you can do without inhibiting the reflex, because what you're doing is you're trying to stretch against the nervous system's protective response. We have to create a window of opportunity to do the stretching to inhibit the reflex. And one of the best ways to do that, a couple of them. So you can get on Amazon for about $20, these little scraping things. It doesn't have to be a specific shape. I like this one in particular because its curve fits really nicely in this little area of interest that we're after. And what you do, and you don't have to get this special emollient, basically it's a lubricant for this stuff. You don't want to use it on dry skin, this tool on dry skin. If you don't need to buy this, but you can use coconut oil from around the house or something like that. And it's also, you know, decent for the skin. So you just, a little goes a long way, put it on this area. And what you're going to do with this, you don't have to get crazy and start scraping the heck out of it, but you're just going to back and forth. I like to put a little angle on my tool here. And what you'll feel when something's really tight like this and the fascia is tight around here is like almost like you're driving over cobblestone streets, okay? As opposed to a really nice, smooth, paved road. You know, if you guys ever, when someone just recently replaces the asphalt on a road, how smooth it is, that's what you're going to be after. So as the reflex gets inhibited, you'll have less and less of that kind of cobblestone feeling. But right now, even mine is rough. And as you do the scraping here, it doesn't have to be too hard, just enough where you can kind of connect with the underlying tissue. You'll see there's redness over the skin forming, and that's fine. That's just increased blood flow. You actually want that. You may even have a little bit of bruising if you get a little crazy with it. It's not a problem. That will just stimulate the body's own repair processes. So what I'm doing is going along the line of normal pull with the muscle. So I like to do this first for a minute or two. And what that does is it gently stimulates those muscle spindles. And with the direction of force I'm applying, it temporarily inhibits that reflex, which then decreases the tension in that whole muscular unit here for the finger and wrist extensors, which then relieves some of the force that's put on the attachment point. It's where it's hurting, okay? And what you'll notice is even after a couple minutes, you're like, oh man, that does feel a lot better. So that's just to get you started. Okay, so when I'll do a couple minutes, I'm not going to, just for the sake of time here, I'm not going to sit here and actually do a couple minutes of this. But you'll notice if you can see through the camera, I'm starting to get increased blood flow. I'm starting to get that redness is what we want. Okay, this is the time where we're going to do our stretching techniques. I don't like just, now, if let's just remember the anatomy real quick. So to stretch this, we want to make the muscle long. Well, we got to know how to make it short first. And the shortening contraction of this is wrists and fingers coming up in extension, right? That makes it short. So then making it long to stretch it, we're going to put everything into flexion, going to curl our fingers down. And also, we're going to extend our elbow straight. Remember, the supinator also attaches here. To make the supinator short, we open up like we're holding a can of soup. we want to pronate it. So we want to extend and pronate. In other words, bring the arm down. That puts this area under max stretch for all the attachments. But again, only do this after you've inhibited it with the tool. What I like to do, not just doing the stretch, but I like to actually pin the area. You can do this with a lacrosse ball or a similar thing. It's a little awkward to kind of pin it somewhere, but you can even use your fingers. This is the easy way. So kind of grab the thing, make the muscle short, pin it, and then we're going to lengthen it while we're pinning. So we're going to bring the wrist and fingers down and pronate. Then relax your tension here, reset it, pin it again. This is called pin and stretch. This also helps inhibit that reflex. And it does something else. Both the scraping and this pin and stretch give a direction of force. So when we have a tendon injury like this, the whole body, and the immune system especially, what it does is generate the inflammatory response. Part of that inflammation is part of the repair process. But if you leave it, the body, to its own devices, and we don't give it a direction of force, almost like, it's like if I'm going to lay a road, I gotta, you know, have people come out to make sure that road is straight. Well, if you don't give direction to the body to lay down this new tissue, collagen and all the other things, it's going to haphazardly lay the stuff down as it's trying to repair that damaged area. And that causes, over time, it's an improper repair. We have this collagen that's laying down all over the place instead of in nice straight lines. And so what we end up with is something over time called tendinopathy. And that's where this thing becomes a chronic condition, where we don't get the stretch anymore out of the tendon from that improper repair. And it becomes a chronic pain state, and people will be suffering this for years. That's why you got to intervene early and not push through this stuff. You can still train. I'm going to talk about how ways that we can do that, but you really got to watch your overgripping and give it some relative rest. So as we're doing this, pin and stretch in the tool, again, we're inhibiting the reflex, relaxing the muscle, increasing blood flow, and inducing a little bit of an inflammatory response, which we need. That's why I don't, with any kind of tendon injury, I tell people to avoid ibuprofen, naproxen, any of those anti-inflammatories, because those inhibit the inflammatory. It might feel better, but we're delaying the healing process by inhibiting the inflammation that's needed for repair. So avoid ibuprofen and things like that. I'm a big fan of, honestly, heat on the muscle. You'll hear people say, oh, you got to ice it. We want blood flow into this thing while we're doing the treatment. So when I provide that force, that direction with the pin and stretch and the tool, I'm given direction for the body to lay down that collagen in a nice straight manner so that I get a good repair on this thing. Because that's what, you know, these things are, these micro little injuries. So there are some other ancillary things you can do if you have the resources. The infrared red light treatment is great. That actually stimulates the fibroblasts, which make collagen. You can do acupuncture, especially electroacupuncture, which does some really neat things with the nervous system to actually inhibit that myotatic reflex. It's all different tools to achieve the same goal. Okay, now, let's say, like, oh man, that does feel better, but I want to go back and train some more. Well, get yourself something like, you'll see a bunch of them on the market. This is one of the least expensive and actually most effective on Amazon. I think this is called the Bandit, B-A-N-D-I-T. Just, it should be two words, but they made a little, you know, kind of a play on words. But what you're going to do with this, the whole purpose of these things is to remember where all the inflammation is. It's at the attachment point. Remember my rubber band analogy against the wall. So what we're going to do with these things is create an artificial attachment a couple inches down from where the muscles regularly attach. So when I put force down on this, this area that normally is inflamed due to the excess muscle tension now is offloaded, and it will help relieve the inflammation and the tension by creating this artificial attachment point. So, I mean, you can see, I'll put this thing. This thing is also cool. It's dual use for medial epicondylitis too. And you don't do these things so it's going to cut off your circulation, but you do it enough where now I have a kind of an artificial attachment point from this pressure, and I can already feel, I mean, that just feels more comfortable. And this one doesn't slip. I mean, I've tried this rolling. It lasts maybe 3 or 4 rounds, and it does, all the sweat, it does slip down. You have to kind of put it dry off and put it back on. Although my teammates will tell you I sweat profusely, so maybe you guys won't have that problem. I'm like a greased pig. As a matter of fact, my professor calls me something else, which is very rude. So, no, it's actually funny. So this is something you can wear while you're training. It's not a fix, okay? You got to do the other stuff too, but this will help let this attachment point kind of recover. So those of you that have let this go on too long and you do have tendinopathy you've developed over years, some of these things may not work super well because it's already too far gone. We already have tendinopathy. It's more than just irregular collagen. We have new little blood vessels forming in there. We have all kinds of nasty stuff going on that really contributes to that tendon not being like it used to be. That's when we have to get a little more invasive, and I would look for more regenerative medicine approaches like PRP injections, exosomes, Wharton's jelly, whatever, where we actually go in there with a needle and cause some micro injuries and then put all these growth factors back in there to kind of reboot the system again and start out from, you know, start out again and try to reorganize that collagen. I've seen extreme cases where they actually have to do a surgical release. That's about a 50-50. In my experience, I'm not a surgeon, but I've seen plenty of people post-surgery. Some of them do really well. Some of them don't. So don't let this get bad. So please send me any questions you have. I'll just recap real quick. Identify it early. Don't just push through it. Immediately carry one of these tools around so you can inhibit that reflex. Even if it's temporary, it will offload that tendon, get blood flow, and give a directional place, directional force for the body to kind of heal itself. Pin and stretch techniques like we talked about, and also use one of these kind of braces as not a standalone treatment, but again, to help support and offload that. And if you do all those things, and you're not like me and I'm a dummy, you'll actually nip that thing in the bud early. So really important. I'm seeing this a ton lately, for whatever reason. Maybe I'm just noticing it more, but both in my work and at jiu-jitsu. So you guys have any questions on this, you know where to send a message. Anyway, that's it. I'll see you later.